There are just 14 restaurants in San Diego that have an official honor from what is arguably the most storied institution in food criticism, the Michelin Guide. And yes, it is the same Michelin as Michelin tires. The guide started out as a tool for road trips. Michelin-starred restaurants are usually fancy and expensive, but the guide gives out the Bib Gourmand Award to restaurants with, quote, exceptionally good food at moderate prices. Today, we're visiting one of those spots with a remarkable and distinctly San Diegan story, North Park seafood restaurant Mabel's Gone Fishing. Mabel's received the honor less than a year after opening. It's an amazing achievement you might expect from a chef trained at the most prestigious culinary schools or from a family of fine dining royalty. But Mabel's owner, Chelsea Coleman, grew up in a household more focused on baseball than cooking elaborate meals every night. You might recognize her dad's voice.
Drive left center field in the air, coming on quickly, Finley, he's under, he's got it, and the Padres draped the National League flag around their shoulders for 1998. Oh, doctor!
That's Jerry Coleman, the longtime voice of the San Diego Padres, an all-star second baseman for the Yankees. Chelsea's passion, though, was food.
My grandpa grew up on a farm, and he learned to cook everything from scratch, and he really is the one I credit with my love of food and cooking and real food.
It was at her grandparents' table where Chelsea began to shape the values she lives by now as a chef and restaurateur.
Everything that we do here is scratch cooking, which I, like, if I had a religion, that would probably be it, that there is, you know, something spiritual almost in learning and handing down recipes and keeping that in your family and your traditions. It's rewarding, you know, you feel like you've done a thing, you feel like you're honoring your ancestors.
At Mabel's, scratch cooking means no pre-chopped onions or pre-sliced potatoes.
In professional kitchens, you can do a lot of shortcuts, like we don't buy egg yolks, you know, and we try to buy as much as we can direct from farmers, and, you know, farmers aren't selling egg yolks and egg whites, they're selling eggs.
The menu changes every season, and anyone in the kitchen can nominate a dish for consideration, but
you have to hit two of these four requirements, which are locally sourced protein, locally sourced vegetables, Spanish or Portuguese traditional recipes, or like your personal soul food.
Earlier menus have included
my soul food with my grandpa, you know, there were like pickled peaches and country ham.
So we've got local ingredients, a scratch kitchen, soul foods, flavors of Spain and Portugal in San Diego. It's a winning formula. One producer Anthony got to taste for himself.
This fish is amazing. I never have fish this good.
He described the fish as amazing four separate times. I promise, there'll be more adjectives before the episode is over.
It's definitely, like, stressful to eat food in front of the chef, you know? Because, like, you don't want to have to pretend like you liked it. But I didn't have to at all.
As we've explored previously on The Finest, it's hard just to keep a restaurant open. It's a lot harder to land in the city's top 14, according to Michelin, within the restaurant's first year. For reference, San Diego County has about 8,000 restaurants. So we wanted to know how Mabel's pulled it off. And just like the 98 Padres who reached the World Series, Mabel's is more than one star player.
Cooking in a kitchen is like the team sports of arts.
We talked to the 25-year-old San Diego-raised head chef that is behind the fish that wowed Anthony, and the curator working with Chelsea to bring local artists into the restaurant and build a community space. Getting into the Michelin Guide may seem like a grand feat, but for Chelsea and her team at Mabel's, it's also pretty simple.
I just really believe in the space of the table and the physical act of making a meal and sharing a meal and having conversation over a meal. I wanted to go to a restaurant like this myself, and here we are.
From KPBS Public Media, this is The Finest, a podcast about the people, art, and movements redefining culture in San Diego. I'm Julia Dixon Evans. A few weeks before we visited Mabel's Gone Fishing, Chelsea Coleman and art curator Alejandra Frank came into the studio to talk about the restaurant's recent art programs. It's all part of what makes Mabel's a gathering place that enriches the community. But first, let's go back to Chelsea's origin story. Because, as it turns out, neither Mabel's Gone Fishing nor Chelsea Coleman herself would exist without KPBS and, coincidentally enough, the TV auctions we talked about in our last episode.
I just have to say I'm so excited to be at KPBS because this is where my parents met. So I, like, wouldn't be here without this station.
They met how? What? Tape is running.
My mom was one of the early KPBS employees. She did all the fundraising, and she got him to donate a, like, night in the booth. And then I think my dad had a crush on her and started flirting with her. Mm-hmm. And here we are. Here I am.
From 1972, before she was born, until his death in 2014, her dad, Jerry, was the lead radio broadcast announcer for the San Diego Padres, with a voice and catchphrase any local baseball fan would recognize.
Oh, doctor, you can hang a star on that, baby!
He was as charming as he sounded on air. You know, he was a wonderful dad.
She grew up around baseball, hanging out with Tony Gwynn's kids and going to Christmas parties where then-Padres manager Bruce Bochy dressed up as Santa.
So those are very fond memories, and I remember running around with all the kids.
Did you ever play baseball?
I played softball. Mm-hmm. Played through high school. I guess my dad watched a baseball game where I missed a play, and I think he told someone, well, it's time for voice lessons.
Oh, wow. That's lovely.
It was his humor. I don't take that personally.
At what point, then, did you start to realize that food might be your future?
Literally, when I was 7 years old, I used to force my friends to do restaurant night, and we would print out menus and cook for our parents. It's been, like, my daydream since I was a kid. It's what I love, and I can't imagine doing anything else.
It was her grandparents' house where she really got her food education. There, it was always about making Southern food from scratch, a mentality rooted in life on a farm. And after college, Chelsea wanted to know more about farming.
So I was in Hawaii and I was in Argentina for, like, a combination of 2 years working on farms. Mm-hmm. And I really learned to appreciate organic agriculture and, by extension, viticulture, because wine is a farmed product. You know, natural wine is really just the way wine has been made for centuries before we, you know, started doing things in labs. It's just sort of remembering the way it used to be done versus anything new, I would say.
When Chelsea came back to San Diego, she started working at the Linkery, a pioneering farm-to-table restaurant. That's where her belief in local food and natural wine solidified. Then she worked at The Rose, a natural wine bar, eventually becoming part owner. She also launched a from-scratch sourdough bakery, Secret Sister. After that, the time was right for her to open a full-on restaurant. Step one, come up with a name.
Initially, we were going to call it El Chaparral, which we decided was a little too unapproachable, I think, and not as fun, right? Like, a little too serious. But we really wanted to create a restaurant that was of the space, of the place. And Chaparral is our coastal sage scrub biome here. So the idea was to use product of San Diego from the waters, from the canyons. We were hoping to have like a pretty big foraging portion. But we wanted it to be more fun, basically. And my dog Mabel loved the ocean. She loved swimming. I've seen very few dogs who do this, but she would dip her whole head and then throw her hair back.
It's so dramatic.
Yeah, very dramatic. But she just sort of became this caricature, and it became fun to think about it in that way.
Chelsea and her team chose something playful, but their ideas about place remain front and center.
A big part of the mission with Mabel's is the fact that if you look at a picture of the coast of Spain and Portugal and you look at a picture of Torrey Pines, you have no idea which is which. We have the same environment, right? So we have the potential here to have a similarly rich dining culture, viticulture. Like, we have the exact same conditions.
So there are the local ingredients, which we will return to and taste soon. But it's more than the food that is local. That's where art curator Alejandra Frank comes in.
To me, it made so much sense to have beautiful, amazing, cool artwork in these spaces versus, like, the normal, like, things that you would come across of, like, whatever people decide to put in restaurants.
Recently, the suite next door to Mabel's became available, and Chelsea jumped on the chance to rent it out. Now it's called The Fishbowl, an art gallery and event space where you can hang out while waiting for a table or enjoying a drink. Alejandra curates rotating exhibitions featuring local artists, and she and Chelsea organize special dinners in The Fishbowl, where chefs, winemakers, and artists collaborate around shared themes. It all comes back to Mabel's holistic commitment to the neighborhood.
Mabel's just has such a great community. There's people coming in, people purchasing art, and it's just speaking to a new audience as well. Over the past couple years, I feel that there's been a lot of gallery spaces and community spaces that have opened up. I think that people realize how important it is and how we really need that right now. We want to be able to give our money and support the people that deserve it, that will continue to uplift and, like, pave the way for San Diego and creators.
Chelsea sees Mabel's as a whole as one big piece of art, with all its many parts coming from San Diego's own region.
I feel like, ultimately, the whole, like, dining in a restaurant, if done well, it, like, the whole thing is art. When I think specifically to Mabel's, our light fixtures were done by a glassblower who's out of bread and salt. Our plates were hand-thrown in Encinitas. It's all art. If it's a painting on the wall or if it's the dish that's beautiful in front of you, constructed by a professional who's working really hard at their craft, that's all art.
And we all know where this vision and hard work led. A Michelin Bib Gourmand.
I mean, I think that was affirmation that what we were doing was excellent and appreciated and resonated, you know, and tasted good, because that's supposedly all that that's about, is that the food is good. But I think that dining is so much more than just the food that I think it's impossible to separate that. So who knows? And also just being successful. Like, it's a tough business, and there's like negative guarantee that your restaurant is going to work when you put it out into the world. It's, you know, you're up against a lot. So that we took a breath of relief in that moment, being like, oh, okay, great. Like, we're going to be okay.
For Chelsea, the food is just one part of the experience, but it's a delicious one.
We came up with company values, and one of them was this idea that we know delicious. So if you work here, you have to really love food. You have to know what delicious tastes like.
After the break, we're going back to Mabel's to dig in ourselves and meet the surprisingly young chef behind it. Stay with us.
Hey, can you say your name into the mic? Tanner Stanich. I've been the head chef here for about a year now at Mabel's Gone Fishing.
Tanner is just 25 years old. He started as a line cook, quickly rose through the ranks, and now leads the kitchen. Being head chef at Mabel's is a big job, not just because of its acclaim, but because the menu changes every season.
We actually just changed the menu for the summer, and it kind of forces change.
It's kind of like a band releasing 4 albums a year. They're constantly dreaming up the next season's menu and testing dishes out.
We have like an ongoing joke that it's like whenever you go to bed and you like wake up with an idea and it's like you're straight to the notes, or it's like me and Chef Scott, we share Google Sheets that we like jot ideas in and we like trade back.
I love that spreadsheets are involved. And from there, it's trial and error. Cooking, tasting, giving feedback, and adjusting.
I don't think I've ever came up with a dish and the first one I plated was the end product.
Anyone on staff can nominate a recipe for the menu as long as it fits 2 of Chelsea's 4 requirements. Local protein, local produce, Spanish or Portuguese influence, or personal soul food. So the menu changes as ingredients go in and out of season. The first dish we tried had local veggies and proteins, and it's probably on its way to becoming one of Tanner's soul foods.
Personally, octopus, the carpaccio on right now is something that like really I love to cook. Octopus is something my sous chef, David Leon, who works at Lilo in Carlsbad, he taught me how to cook it, and it's always been like something that I really enjoy doing. This is probably my favorite dish on the menu right now.
Because I don't eat meat, I passed all the seafood eating duties to Anthony. Extra work he was happy to take on. Neither one of us had ever seen octopus presented this way. It's far from its natural tentacly appearance.
It's cooked and then it's like wrapped in saran wrap, super tight, so it like sticks to itself. And then you freeze it so that you can slice it nice and thin. Almost
like
it was
a deli meat.
Exactly.
Kind of meat. Okay.
It would be like a stick of provolone, like when you're working at like Jersey Mike's.
A flat slice of octopus at the base. Orange, chili dressing, blanketing everything. Purslane with its tiny, juicy, succulent leaves. Jicama strips and cherries and olives sprinkled evenly on top, like a precisely topped pizza where every slice gets the same bite. Everything at Mabel's is designed for sharing.
The octopus we try to get from Baja when we can. Occasionally it does come from Spain. The cherries, I don't think they're any further north than Santa Barbara. The purslane is local. I don't know if you guys have ever seen purslane in your garden. It's like it's a very fancy ingredient, but it grows like a weed in San Diego.
We can only imagine how many iterations it took to reach this delicate balance.
Do you want me to hold the mic for you while you try this?
All right, so I need to have a live reaction.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, what are you tasting? What are you tasting?
It is very flavorful. It's acidic, it's spicy. It does kind of taste like deli meat, actually. Like, it kind of tastes like salami, weirdly. Not that you understand any of these references, but it's really good. Let me have another one.
It's all yours.
Feel free to give me some notes too if you guys don't like anything. It's a brand new menu.
I have no notes on this one.
Thank you. Very Baja, like cuisine inspired. I think that's my favorite food to eat. The best meal I probably ever had was a restaurant called Fauna in Valle de Guadalupe. And I think I draw a lot of inspiration from like that type of cuisine, and I'm trying to like mesh the cultures of Spanish food, Baja cuisine, and also like San Diego ingredients kind of all meet in the middle.
What cheap, like simple dish do you make the most for yourself?
I probably eat a grilled cheese probably like at least twice a week. Yeah, especially with pickles in it.
Do you have it with, like, a soup?
I used to love making tomato soup and just, like, dipping it. But, you know, the late hours or the long nights, it's just, like, I can't make soup right now. So I just, you know, I have a George Foreman grill at home that my mom gave me, like, a long time ago. I was just, like, throw some Secret Sister sourdough in there and some just American cheese and just get at it.
But Tanner goes out to eat too every so often. And before he started working here, Mabel's was his favorite restaurant.
Me and my girlfriend used to come in, like, I think we came in like 10 times before I started working here. And then I was like, I finally had to do it. Like, I gotta put my resume in. And they took me in.
Like, why are you working in food?
When I started working in food, it was because I was drawn to the atmosphere. You know, it's not like the highest paying job for how hard you do work in the late hours, but something about like that grittiness and like, you know, that rock star mentality of like playing with knives and fire is just like so much fun. But then I think it grew into more of like, I get to be creative and like, you know, you build a family of like, I see these people more than anyone I know. And it's just like the camaraderie of working side by side with someone, just like cooking, sweating and, you know, grinding it out.
That's really the heart of the place. It feels like family. And as much as they possibly can, Mabel's works with people they know in the community. From the artists to the food producers, local farmers and fishermen supplying ingredients. Our second dish was all about Shane the fisherman. It's a bluefin tuna, but again, looked like nothing we'd seen before. Something otherworldly. Pickled onions, blood orange, vivid marigold flowers, all drenched in a bright purple plum sauce Tanner invented by dehydrating plum pulp, partly as a way of mitigating food waste.
But I don't think anybody's ever done like a lacto-fermented plum tahini. Feels like everything's been done, but you know.
There's still new foods out there.
Yeah, I guess that's the challenge.
But of course, the standout was the bluefin tuna.
So that is from a local fisherman named Shane. He mostly does our mackerel, but he's fishing bluefin right now, and that's line caught bluefin.
It's like tuna like migrate, and so you don't know like when they're gonna be here. And they're here right now.
Yes. There's a lot of amazing tuna fishermen in San Diego. We have such a cool tuna fishing history here in San Diego too. And only in the last 10 to 15 years has direct from the boat to restaurants or to consumers been kind of possible. A lot of seafood used to leave San Diego before it came back or get shipped overseas. But there's been a really cool resurgence in local fisheries.
It's wild to think that not long ago, if you wanted San Diego caught tuna at a San Diego restaurant, it had to first be sent away, then shipped back. In a world where industrial food shipped globally has become the norm, Mabel's approach feels innovative. But it's really just back to basics, old school, using stuff from local farmers and cooking everything from scratch. And with the tuna, you can taste the difference.
This fish is amazing. I feel like this tastes like how it looks. Mildly fruity and like floral. But it's very refreshing. It's very summery. People say like it melts like butter in your mouth, and it's really true.
It was a good day at the office for Anthony.
I'm done. I ate it all. It was amazing.
Mabel's Gone Fishing is food, art, creativity, and community. A place to relax Spanish style after a long day. A World Series caliber team.
It's gone! Home run derby!
But whatever you call it, however you think of it, it's a thing that feels like it could only exist here in San Diego.
Local is like all we have ultimately, right? Whether it be art, whether it be food, if we support each other in this small economy, we are so much stronger and better for it. I just think it's a great way to create community, ultimately. And in times where it can feel like everything's so fractured, that's a really great way to do it.
Special thank you to Chelsea Coleman, Alejandra Frank, Tanner Stanich and the entire team at Mabel's Gone Fishing for their help with this episode. You've only got a few more weeks before the fall menu drops. Next week on The Finest, Anthony and I take a look back at some of the episodes we've done so far, share some updates, and highlight places you can check out some of the artists we've met along the way. I'm your host, Julia Dixon Evans. Our producer, lead writer, and composer is Anthony Wallace. Our engineer is Ben Redlosk, and our editor is Chrissy Nguyen.